Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Palshia, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to Vardhman Special Steel Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Sachit Jain, Vice Chairman, and Mr. Sanjeev Singla, CFO. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not guarantee of future performance and involves risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Sachit Jain. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you once again for showing your interest in our company. Along with me in my call, Sanjeev Singla, our CFO. Also, my daughter Soumya is on the call. We've had...
Ad Factors
are... in an investor relations company. We've had an interesting year so far. The second quarter has also been equally interesting and challenging. As we shared with you when the year began, that this time it's crazy times with prices, commodity prices fluctuating like nobody's business. We've set all kinds of records in terms of price rises and price falls in raw materials. And as a result of that volatility, it was difficult to set the prices in Q1 and Q2. In Q1, we got a price increase much less than what was legitimate and what was expected by us. And there was a trend for a price reduction after that, and it was a great difficulty. We settled to that price. So Q2 prices were lower than Q1. Whereas costs were not much lower and therefore operating margins came down in Q2. However, we got a little protection from a past government incentive which came through of 9.4 crores, which is GST refund. And that has been accounted. This is GST refund up to the year 21. For the year 21-22, we still haven't got the approval. That has not been accounted. And also, the GST refunds which are relevant for this year have not been accounted. Of course, this is income which is accrued. The cash will come in due course when the government sanctions the release of that cash. Apart from that, volumes have been good. We are on track to meet our revised target of 195,000 tons for the year. We might even try to see if we can exceed this figure and touch 200,000 tons. But anyway, as of now, our target figure of 195,000 stays. I will leave Sanjeev Singla, our CFO, to take you through some of the financials, and then I'm available for a Q&A. Sanjeev?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody.
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, we are also joined now by our Executive Director and CEO, Mr. Rewari. He has also joined the call now. So, yeah, Singla, all yours.
Hello.
Your participants, kindly stay connected. Dear participants, kindly stay connected while we connect the management team back on the call. Dear participants, kindly stay connected while we connect the
आपण ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात त्यांनी आपला
We welcome the management team back on the call.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Oh, okay, right. So we just invited Mr. Rivadi, who made a thunderous entrance and disconnected the call. So our ED and CEO, Rivadi, welcome. Please meet the investing community who has shown interest in our company.
Thank you very much, Jayant, sir. Yeah. And let us enjoy the talk.
Singla, please take them through the financials and then I am there to take to answer your questions.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. During the second quarter, our volumes stands at 50,961 as against 43,283 tons in the same quarter last year. Year-on-year increase is 17.74%. Revenue from operations stands at 443 crores as against 335 crores in the same quarter last year, registering a growth of 32%, primarily due to increase in volume and also because of the price increase which we received in the second half last year and price increase received in the current first half. Our other income, there is an increase. As Mr. Jain has already spent, we have accounted for 9.4 crores GST refund under the industrial policy of the state government. And this benefit is for 1.5 years and for one more year is pending for approval. So the same will also be accounted once we will get necessary approvals from the competent authorities. As a result, our EBITDA, including other income for the quarter, stands at 49 crores. As against 48.55 crores, registering marginal increase of 1%. EBITDA per ton is 9,600 rupees. And quarter two PAT stands at 28.01 crores as against 24 crores. In the same quarter last year, there is an increase of 15%, mainly because in the current year we have switched over to the new tax regime. Under this new tax regime, the effective rate of tax is 25% as against 35% in the old tax regime. So that's all on the financial performance, and I now request for the question answers.
And before the questions come in, again our EBITDA to capital employed is above 20%, which is what we have said that our target is to consistently meet this figure of above 20% EBITDA on capital employed and hope to raise it to 25% on a sustainable basis by the year 25. And we seem to be on track to achieve those milestones. But now over to you all and we can start the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. The first question is from the line of Bhavesh Chauhan from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, so my question is with regards to the strategic alliance with IC Steel that we have done. If you could share what is the kind of offtake have they assured, has Toyota assured of any offtake that will happen from this, and what is the kind of steel that we will be making, and what is the market potential for that kind of steel going forward?
Okay. So thank you Bhavesh for asking this question. I think there's an echo coming.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir.
There's an echo coming back. My voice is coming back.
Yes, sir.
Is it okay now?
But can you please reduce your speaker volume, sir?
Okay. Is that okay?
There's still an echo.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Bhavish, the 3-year agreement, the echo is coming. I think we'll disconnect. Can you call us back again, please? I'm disconnecting.
Sure, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, kindly stay connected while we connect the management team back on the call. We welcome the management team back on the call.
Yeah, so the first 3 years of this agreement with Aichi have been completed. And we have signed the agreement again for the next 3 years. And with Toyota, the approvals have started coming in. And part production has already started for some parts. And mass production has started for some parts. So there is a series of parts which are going to get approved, and this is in sequence. Again, I think the echo is still coming. Is it disturbing too much, or shall I continue like this?
No, it's not disturbing. Hello?
Yeah?
Not disturbing. Please continue.
Okay. So this year we should do about 3,000 to 4,000 tons, and in the next 3 years this figure should rise to about 30,000 tons, and beyond that the potential is huge, because eventually Southeast Asia business of Toyota, which is coming from Aichi Steel, our partners, large part of that is likely to shift to India. So the potential is huge. It depends on our ability to service the requirements. And Toyota does not give any assurances, and no other company gives assurances. So they give ideas, they give tentative possibilities, tentative quantities, and it is for the companies to work towards achieving those. But let me say there's reasonable confidence of achieving those numbers. Now, in addition to these numbers, there are other Japanese customers who are coming into us because of Aichi. Not through Aichi, but because they know Aichi is here, and therefore quality levels will reach the Toyota standards, and therefore other Japanese customers in Southeast Asia are also gravitating towards us. So from business point of view, we are expecting a shortfall in capacity in the next 2 to 3 years. Bhavish, does that answer your question?
So I'm sorry to interrupt. It got dropped from the call, sir.
Okay. Right.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else?
Question? Yes, Asha. Thank you. And the next question comes from Ritesh Sheikh from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So I have a few questions. Firstly, so this incentive that we have received from the government, how long and what would be the quantum which would be pending? You mentioned that SGST is pending for another year, and is there any electricity benefit or any other benefit which we are expecting?
Yeah. So this benefit is going to last for about 7 years. And we are expecting about roughly seven and a half crores for 1 year, for previous year, which will only get the approval. And going ahead, it will be roughly about 8 to 10 crores per year.
Okay, okay. So this covers everything.
This is GST. On electricity duty, we got benefits last year of the pending. Plus, annually, we are already getting the benefits of electricity duty, which are part of our P&L.
Right, right. So
this is being reported separately because it's a prior year income and come in as a lump sum. Therefore, it's getting reported.
Right. So, any figure per year for the electricity benefit?
It's also about 8 to 10 crores per year we will be getting.
But that is already accounted in every quarter's results.
Yeah, that is also reported in other income, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay, okay. Thank you for the clarification. So, my next question is on the scrap prices. We've been reading that because of lower production in the West, material is coming into India. So, has it benefited us in terms of lower scrap prices? If you can throw some light and, you know, what would be the scrap prices currently versus the last quarter average?
So prices are headed a little downwards. But domestic prices are higher than international prices.
Okay.
And we were largely relying on domestic scrap. Mm. But as the international prices are sustained at a lower level, we have increased the purchase of imported scrap. And so the prices keep changing. So there's no point in talking about a number at this point. But currently around 400... The prices are fluctuating between $440 and $460 per ton landed in Navasheva.
Okay, okay. So what would be the premium of domestic scrap prices over international?
Varies, but currently it's between 2,000 to 4,000 rupees. It varies between that. So it's a constant dynamic taking a view. In my time in the steel business, I have not seen a situation where international prices have remained that much lower than domestic prices.
Right,
So this is an unusual kind of situation. And this arbitrage, which is going on the other way, may not continue for long, but these are unusual times, so we cannot say what is driving the prices.
But directionally, current quarter scrap prices would be lower than Q2 averages, right? I'm not directionally. I'm trying to understand.
They would be a bit lower. But then also depends on what is the price settlement from October, because the OEs are asking for a price reduction.
Okay.
Whereas we are not prepared to give any price reduction at this point in time.
Okay. So what is the quantum that they are looking for?
Those are negotiating numbers. I can't share those numbers.
Sure. And next question is on the greenfield project you've been mentioning repeatedly. So, you know, wanted to, if there's any update on the same.
No. At this point, there is no update. We are clear as the Indian side of VSS that we need the capacity as soon as possible, and our partners Aichi are also agreeable that we need this capacity. The question only is, what is the trigger to start work on that? So we are discussing that, and hopefully the next few months we'll have clarity on that.
Okay, sure. And sir, you mentioned that 3,000 to 4,000 tons of exports we will be doing to Aichi customers. That means that most of the product approval has come through. Would that be a reasonable understanding?
That would be incorrect. Okay. As I said, the product approvals are all in process. There are several products to be approved for, and the approvals are coming in every quarter. We're getting some more approvals because it's a slow process of sending material, making parts, testing those parts and getting those approvals. And this, what is happening is at super fast speed. So no other Indian company can replicate what we are able to get. So what the approvals we are getting from Toyota are at super fast speed. But super fast also takes time because automobile and material change is a massive safety issue. So a lot of testing has to be done to absolutely everyone has to make sure that nothing possibly can go wrong.
Sure. And so just a follow up on the incentive bit. Is this incentive amount fixed, 8 to 10 crores irrespective of the electricity prices?
This is electricity duty. So if the prices increase, then the incentive will also increase, but then the cost is increasing.
Okay.
So this has got nothing to, and this figure will change depending on as we increase our production and our consumption goes up, this amount will go up. So this is a percentage of the power. So basically, in effect, it is a reduction in the power tariff.
Okay. And would you like to share, you know, what would be the mechanism, you know, if what is
it comes in the bill? It gets adjusted in the bill every month. Every month.
Adjusted in the bill.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we use more power, we'll get a higher refund, something like that.
There's no refund. We pay less.
Okay, we pay less. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's
electricity duty,
amount.
Electricity duty, there is no refund. We pay less to the government.
Okay.
And the GST part, we get a refund.
Okay.
So there are two legs to this incentive.
Right. So just wanted to understand on the electricity. So if the electricity bill is 100 rupees, we would be getting a percentage of a reduction on the expense, and the entire expense we bill it in the P&L line item in the expense side, and the lower
incentive part comes
in the other income. That
correct.
Is okay.
Correct.
Okay. Sure, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Nilesh Doshi from Green Lantern Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question, Sachin. First is, you said about new products development. You know, you mentioned that it's happening at a very good speed. Technically, what? These are different grades of steel which you are developing for them, or it is, how do I understand it?
These are unique products to Toyota. It may be the same grade, but the quality specs would be different in some cases. In some cases, they may be unique grades also. But mostly it is existing grades, but much tighter quality specifications.
So in terms of manufacturing process, this
product cannot be sold to anybody else.
Yeah, but does it call for changes in the manufacturing process?
Of course, it does.
I see. Okay. A second is, what are you really observing on a global framework that structurally why these companies are looking at India after, I mean, many years they have always remained sourcing within their own country or maybe...
Not really. That would be incorrect to say. At least I know our partners, Aichi, have been scouting India since 2006.
Okay.
I think the first contact with our company was made in around 2006 or 7. So
yeah, but still it is taking like what, a decade to even develop more and more products, right?
You see, the point is that to find the right thought process, to find the right partnership and to operate in India is very difficult. So just give an example, there are 3 special steel companies in Japan. Daido, Aichi and Sanyo. Aichi was the first off the block to look for a partner. They couldn't find a right partner. Daido partnered with Sunflag in 2011 or 2012. And Sanyo partnered with Mahindra Eugene or Musco and eventually has taken over Musco. But they are all having their own difficulties in operating in India. So India, sadly, is a difficult market for many of the foreigners to work in. So, Aichi also...
Now?
No, sorry. Again, let me complete. Aichi also partnered with another company called Usha Martin in 2014. They failed in that company. So, after 4 years of struggling with Usha Martin, they finally dropped out of that agreement and started with us in 2019. So, there always has been intention from them to produce in India and source from India. And I think somewhere Indian entrepreneurs and Indian organizations have to understand to meet international requirements, we have to change our approach. Mm-hmm. And they ask for stuff which many Indians say, why do you need this? This is not required and so on. Well, when the customer wants it, you have to give it. So right. That kind of customer orientation is largely lacking in Indian manufacturing organizations.
Yeah, but with the kind of digital world in which we are and so many processes changing.
This is not the topic of this discussion, but I'm suffice to say, Vardhman Group, in Vardhman Group, Aichi has found a partner which is very responsive, which has the same ideology, same philosophy, and they are finding, and so many all customers who come, thanks to Aichi, other customers who are coming in, are repeating that. So we are very hopeful that in the next coming few years we are going to have massive growth in terms of requirement of product from us.
Yeah, thanks for clarification. Just one last question is on the pricing with this OEMs. You know, like earlier I remember we used to have yearly pricing, then it moved to 6 months. Now it is probably quarterly. But as the industry is maturing and the kind of volatility we are seeing across in every aspect of life today, especially last 2 years, are the industry not maturing towards some kind of formula-based pricing to avoid all this haggling and all?
People are not talking about it, but it's very difficult to get a formula-based pricing because in India there are two routes of steel making. So there's a blast furnace route and there's a alloys, there's an electric arc furnace route. And the cost structures and movements of these two are very different. So, very difficult to get a formula-based system. Everyone wants that. So, we have that with Hyundai. So, it is possible for one company, but then we are the only supplier from India in Hyundai. So we have that formula. But, for the other companies, everybody wants it, but it is difficult.
I see. Because otherwise, you know, it will give us good visibility in terms of margins, you know, margin profile.
I agree. That makes sense.
Yeah. Thanks, Sachin. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for your answer.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Rajat Satya from iThought Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, what is our wallet share with our major clients?
Rajat, it will be different for different customers. There are, and we will not like to share any customer what is our share of their business. But we have up to 70-80% in some cases, and we would be 15-20% in some cases. But very rarely would be below 20% for any customer.
Okay.
And in some customers, again, depends on one customer may have be serving a few OEs, but since we are a more sophisticated quality supplier and more expensive in steel, so the same customer for a particular OE may be using even 100% of our material is from us.
Okay, they may be taking material from us.
From other steel suppliers at cheaper prices for some other OEs which are less quality conscious or for parts which are less stringent in quality requirements.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And with the clients where we have a lower market share, let's say 20-30%, do you think there is a possibility to increase it?
Again, we are not just now because we are going to have a shortage of capacity. We are not trying very hard to increase sales where customer doesn't value our product and services. We are going to have a shortage of capacity in the next 2 years. So, we are holding on to any further aggressive push in marketing.
Okay. On this capacity point, so, it's clear that till the time we put up a new greenfield project, we will be limited going by 2025. So, how much can we really sell without the greenfield plant?
Those are questions because there is a big assumption out here that there is no plan B between fully utilizing this capacity and having a greenfield. Mm-hmm. So that assumption perhaps may not be correct. So we have a plan B and a plan C. We do not intend to allow sales opportunities to slip by. So we'll see how those plans shape up in the next coming years.
Okay. And for the greenfield plant, how much time will it take and what will be the kind of capacity that we will look to?
So again, all that has to be discussed with our partners, but the way I see it, so it will take roughly 5 years from when we decide.
Okay, 5 years to set up.
Yeah, because it will take time to figure out to purchase the land, get the environmental approvals, then the civil project and construction. So it's between 5 to 6 years. So for the investment horizon of any of you, I think this is beyond the investment horizon of any of you.
Sure. And when it comes to agreement with the renewal of agreement with the IG, so is it as per our expectations or has the terms changed from the previous agreement?
No, the terms have changed from the previous agreement, but this is all as per our expectation and understanding and full acceptance, because I still believe the fees they are charging us and the kind of value we are getting, we have the better end of the deal.
Sure.
They have been more than fair, and we are getting way beyond what we are paying them as fees.
Sure. Have you disclosed such terms or would you be disclosing them?
No, we don't disclose those terms, but so some parts will be visible in the annual reports when you see the detailed expenditure statement. But we don't, from our side, reveal any parts of the agreement.
Sure. And so what are the sustainable margins for our business, be it in like EBITDA per ton basis?
We have said that we believe 7,000 to 10,000 rupees EBITDA per ton is a sustainable number, and beyond 25 we'll be targeting a figure of 10,000 to 12,000 rupees EBITDA per ton.
And so prior to 2021, were we also operating in the same range or back then?
Earlier our figures have been changing upwards. Earlier the first set of guidance we were giving was between 4,500 to 6,000. Then we change it to 5 to 7, then 6 to 8, then 7 to 9, and then 7 to 10.
And so what has led to this change of, I mean, the upward movement in the margin?
Constant operational improvement, cost reduction, and production increase.
Okay.
And better product mix. So combination of all factors.
Okay. Sure. And with IG, we are
shareholders are giving me a good salary, so I have to justify my existence. If you're getting the same 4,500 to 6,000 rupees, the shareholders would have kicked me out by now.
Sure, sir. Can I ask one or two more questions?
It depends on the queue. If there's no other in the queue, please ask. Otherwise, come back in the queue.
Operator, please let me know if I can ask.
Sorry, sir. Can you please join back the queue again?
All right. Thank you so much. All the best, sir.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Zeeshan Chain from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. My question is related to CapEx, sir. So, like, we are increasing our capacity from 2 lakhs to 2,50,000 tons with the CapEx of around 300 crores. So if I calculate that incremental capex per ton comes to around 60,000 crores, 60,000 per ton. So is my understanding correct or am I missing something, sir, in this?
See, it is difficult to correlate exactly that because there are several investments going for environmental approval. There are investments going in for quality. There are part, some of the investments are normal capex, which are replacement capex. It's a combination of all factors.
Okay.
And we will be announcing, I think, at the next board meeting, the next quarterly earning, we will announce the next set of capex plans. And some of these capex plans also have a cost saving associated with them. So there's a payback individually because of that. So it's very difficult to look at it as capex related to capacity. Yeah.
Okay. And sir, is it possible to share the capex per ton, like if any? If is it possible? So that's what I'm asking.
What we are doing?
Yeah, like for incremental capex, that's an increase from 2 to 2.5.
No, it doesn't make sense, I'm thinking as a figure. So we have the total capex we are doing, and you have the production increase that are being made. Some of it is going for product mix enhancement, some of it is going for safety, some of it is going for environment, some of it is going for cost reduction, some of it is going for replacement. The way I would see it is, please look at total capital employed and the EBITDA on capital employed, which we have said a guidance that we will be targeting above 20% EBITDA on capital employed.
Okay, that's quite helpful.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Saket Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar, sir. Firstly, just a small clarification. The other income has two components. One is the reduction in the power cost because of the power subsidy, and other is the GST. And GST component is the one which is first getting approved by the government and then being accrued. Whereas the power will be on a continuous basis, depending upon our production.
Correct.
Okay. And this quarter, there is an approval from the government on GST to the tune of 9 crore rupees.
But which is related to the past period up to March 21.
Okay.
So 21-22 is pending, which has not yet got approved. Okay. And 22-23, the full amount is not yet approved.
Okay. So every quarter we can expect this approval, the process would be
we have to apply to the government, depends on the government to give the approval. So it's not in our hands.
Okay. Since it's a new government, incumbent government, I think so, it's 1 year old. So is that the reason why the process is taking long, or
I would say perhaps this government has been more efficient than the previous government, and at least clearing what this investment that we made was made in the previous government, and if they had any such intentions, then they would have delayed this process further. So we have got the approval now of an investment made in the previous government.
Correct, sir. Sir, currently our capacity is 2 lakh ton, and I think so. What we done for the H1, we are at the optimum utilization level. So, out of this quantity produced around above 1 lakh, how much is attributed to the IT part, sir?
IT sales is negligible in the first half.
Okay. So, second half, sir, what is the planned?
I will say clear, 3,000 to 4,000 tons roughly will be the sales which are going to Aichi. I have already said that of gradually increasing sales, 2024-25 you will notice the sales from Aichi, which are expected to be around 30,000 tons. 20,000 to 30,000 tons. So 2025-26 it will cross 30,000 tons.
But that will happen only from when the capacity moves up from 2 lakh to 2 lakh 50 thousand. That increment.
The capacity will move up well before that.
Okay, but that is what the incremental capacity will be attributable to the IT's deliverable.
Correct.
Okay. Sir, if you look at the, firstly, sir, if your raw material basket, if you could give the granular details, what constitutes the scrap percentage and the other materials, sir?
We don't share that with us because we keep varying that depending on the price dynamics, availability and so on. But the key raw material inputs that we use heavy melting scrap, we use shredded scrap, we use pig iron, we use beach iron, we use sponge iron, we use DRI, and we use MSTB, which is turning and boring. So we use a mix of all of these.
Right, sir. Since it's a EF route, electric arc furnace, what component goes of the graphite cost in the total steel making?
See, again, if you have specific costs, well,
yeah,
please
specific, sir, I just only wanted to understand the cost component percentage. I have no other aspect, just to, as you gave the detail about the variety of scraps and
less than 1%. It's less than 1%.
That is the only question I had. And sir, where, looking into the H2, sir, as you have told that the OEMs are looking for reduction in the finished product prices because of the reduction in scrap prices, then what is our visibility in terms of we maintaining this?
No visibility. I have already said in the beginning of this year no forecasts are valid.
Correct, sir. So this EBITDA per ton of 9,800, depending upon the situation, it will shape up. We cannot plan out a trajectory as per today's condition.
I think the OEs have been not very fair to the steel companies. You have already seen the steel companies' results that have come out. Tata Long Products has already declared a loss. JSW is in loss, and Tata Steel profits are majorly down. So in this scenario, we are a very small company. So
yes,
we have to understand that our negotiating and bargaining power with the large OEs is very low. And this year, the OEs have not been, you can see the profits of all these large OEs. They are making very strong profits, and they are much stronger and bigger than we are. At this stage, for us to make any comments as to what will it be, difficult to say.
Difficult to say. And the line item of other expenses, sir, if you could comment on. Yes, ma'am.
Can we come back in the queue, please?
Yes, ma'am. There's an echo again.
Yes, it's from Satish's line. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. And the next question is from Aditya Khandelwal from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. I've recently started tracking your company, so my questions might be a little basic. So
no problem at all, Aditya. We are happy you're tracking our company.
Perfect, thank you. So when I look at your EBITDA per ton, I'm not including other income. It has seen a decrease from around 8,700 to 6,800 per ton QOQ. So what has led to this decrease?
So first of all, other income that we are talking about is part and parcel of our business. So the electricity duty is a cost which has been taken into account as our cost. And GST refund this year, this quarter is a substantial increase, but otherwise it is lower. But yes, for the point, suffice it to say, the EBITDA per ton is lower. It is because the OEs have pushed through a price reduction that was not due.
Right. And so I wanted to understand how...
And we supply only to the auto industry. So it is all linked to the auto industry.
Right. So if I wanted to understand how the pricing of steel will affect you, if the steel prices decrease, is it detrimental for our company or...
There's no such standard answer, because all depends on how raw material price movement happens and steel prices happen. So if raw material prices, steel prices reduce and raw material prices reduce more than the steel price reduction, then it's to our advantage.
Right. And so lower steel prices will also lead to lower absorption of our fixed costs. So that will also be a little detrimental to us.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question, please?
So lower steel prices will lead to lower realization per ton. So that will lead to lower absorption of fixed costs for us.
See, right. when the fixed cost per ton depends on volume, not on pricing.
Right. Okay. Right.
So if our volumes get maintained, there's a fixed cost per ton will remain the same. And as you can see, our volumes have been constantly increasing, and therefore fixed cost per ton have been maintained or reduced.
Mm-hmm. Right. When I look at your company history, so our gross block has almost increased by 6 times from FY11 to FY22, while our production volume has increased only 2.5 times, you know, from 80,000 to 2 lakh. So just wanted to understand, does the company have high requirements for maintenance capex? Because our cash flow generation has been pretty weak.
See, last 10 years between 2000 and 2010, there was no capex made. Because this business was seen as a defunct business of the group and there was no investment into this company. After I took charge in 2010, we have been investing continuously. So that has led to increase in as well as modernization as well as replacement capex. So it's a combination of all of these. Plus safety was neglected, environment was neglected, so many other investments had to be made which had not been done by the previous management. And management means the operating management, because they never met put those proposals forward. Management remains the same, the group remains the same. So again, the way to look at it is returns on the total capital employed, which includes the gross block. So we don't track gross block, we track total capital employed, which is net block plus the net current assets. And investments will continue to be made which are required by the business. Let me give an example. A full entity line which was put up as part of the previous capex, it does not increase your production, but that is an essential part of being in business. The fume extraction system costing us 14 crores when we put it up in 2014, zero impact on PBDIT, in fact a negative impact on PBDIT, but required for environment management. Those investments were not done in earlier.
Thank you, sir. The question has been withdrawn. The next question comes from Rohan Kamath from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I am just trying to understand your vision. I was just going through the presentation, like you know that as the new car is transitioning from the gas oil to hybrid to EV, and we are transitioning towards the most specialty product for EV. So from a 3 to 5 years perspective, how does the pricing cover with the OEM changes and also terms of volume? As you said, like more efforts will come to into the picture. So we'll have to most steady business going forward. So please understand here.
I'm not able to understand your question. Can you be precise about your question? Can you repeat your question? You want to understand my vision? Our vision is to be the number one special steel company and be a world-class company, to reach an appropriate size of 800,000 to 1 million tons. And in getting there, we want to be partners with a global leader, which we have succeeded in getting Aichi as our partner. And we want to be in the domestic market as well as in the export markets, primarily Southeast Asia. Eventually, we plan to be also perhaps in Europe and Africa over time. We plan to be environmentally conscious. We have and lower our carbon footprint. So the electric arc furnace where we circulate, where we use scrap and we are part of the circular economy, our carbon footprint is way lower than any of our competitors. As ESG becomes a bigger and bigger part of investment, which drives investments, and as customers start driving carbon footprint, we as a company will stand to get tremendous advantage from that. That's on the overall vision. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, sir. Sir, I have one more question.
Please go ahead.
As you said, there is OEM to get increased on industry-wide level. So, there are three competitors mainly. But for main example,
the processes
are different. They are not using electrode graphite. So are they are better position or we are in a better position in the scenario?
There is no such thing as who's better and who's not better. Every company has their own advantages and disadvantages. and we are positioned well, and we don't compare ourselves with other companies. We look at our own performance and how to continuously improve and sustain our performance.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Rajat Satya from iThought Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the invitation. With regards to IT business, will it be a better manager or better margin?
Again, Rajat, those are internal matters of the company. Suffice it to say, since they're an investor, it's all at arm's length basis. If it makes sense for us to do business with them, we will do business with them. And we've already said that by 24, 25 or 25, 26, we are targeting to up our EBITDA per ton levels company-wide to 10 to 12,000 rupees. So it's for you to draw your own conclusions.
Sure, sir. This is helpful. This last point with Toyota, which will begin in 2025, will it be hybrid or is it only vehicle platform?
Will it be hybrid or what are you saying?
Electric vehicle.
See, we don't disclose what each of our customers is doing. We have already started reporting our percentage of sales which are going to the EV sector. Last year we sold 6% of our steel to the EV sector, which is higher than the percentage of EV vehicles sales to total vehicle sales in India. So we are well positioned, well poised for taking a disproportionate share of the increase in EVs. At the same time, Toyota, our partners, are global leaders in hybrid. So we'll be supplying eventually to the hybrid sector also. We are developing steel for the EV sector and also for the combustion engine also. So all areas will be supplying steels in the future.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Please understand that as a steel supplier, these things are irrelevant. The key is the future trend is towards cleaner, stronger stronger, lighter steels, which means to move towards clean steel technology. And again, as our partners, Aichi, as suppliers to Toyota, they have the technology to make any of these steels. So we have, through Aichi, access to all know-how for steel making for the automotive sector.
Thank you, sir. And the next question is from Pranay Severi from J&J Holdings. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, Pranay, go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, as in one of the sequences you were mentioning.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Pranay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Aichi in somewhere in 25 or 26 will be about supplying about 25 to 30,000 metric tons. So at that point of time, we would have 15% of our steel supplied to them. But what would be that percentage for them in their total cost?
It's a tiny percentage of what is their requirement.
In the bigger picture, where do you see ourselves with IT and other capacities are, say, 8 lakh to 10 lakh tons per annum going forward? I'm just seeing the bigger picture because they are working hard for us to get on that platform. So finally, if we are trying to make it to the end, I'm unable to connect with that.
See, just now, it's a slow process to increase, to gain the trust and to get into any auto company. Please understand, once Toyota approval comes, then the ability to enter into any Japanese OE becomes very high. So there is benefits of selling to Toyota and spin-off benefits to be able to sell to other Japanese OEs. And a large chunk of our 800,000 to million tons that we hope we producing in the next 10 years. So a large chunk of it would be going to our overseas business.
Okay, sir.
Thank you, sir. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to management for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your interest in the company. As in closing comments, I'd like to say that with Aichi, our partnership is going strong. As we speak, their president of the steel division is here with us. He was there in the board meeting. Even as we speak to you, he is currently in the plant. And in the next few days, we have a lot of discussions to have with them. Also, I'll be visiting Japan in December to have further discussions and meet all the customers. The advantage is, thanks to Aichi, all doors open to us which will not open to many other steel companies. So that is a huge advantage, and it's up to us how we take advantage of that opportunity. I believe as a company we are very well poised to take full advantage of that opportunity. So thank you so much for your interest in our company.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Dur Sabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a pleasant evening.